And the beat goes on. Yeah, I know you woman's working hard. You're worth the deuce.
Hajad's LA. Last episode of the year. It's been 1 year on the show now. Last one of the year before I go home for 3 weeks and go and kick around and drink Dunkin' Donuts coffee and fucking sit on my parents' couch and watch bad movies and stuff. And that's just the way it is, man. I'm fucking 38 years old and I love going home and fucking, like, I live like a college kid. I go home and I fucking, for 3 weeks every year, and I go drink with my old buddies and do nothing. Oh, what a fucking 1 year. It's fucking, time just flies by, but what are you gonna do? Speaking of anniversaries, this is an anniversary of a guy named Joe Delaney, a fucking guy I never even heard of. But 31 years ago today, was a starting running back for the Chiefs, ended up trying to save three little kids. They were in this is fucking where it blows your mind, a man-made watering hole, this is what I read, with, they didn't know how deep it was. How the fuck are you going to have a man-made watering hole and not know how deep it was? These kids were drowning. This running back, Joe Delaney, who ran for 1,100 yards his freaking rookie year, stumbled across this, couldn't swim, black dude, couldn't swim, go figure, tried to jump in there, save these kids, and fucking died. Never knew that. 31 years ago today. You know, we were in this age of everybody's a hero, and all these fucking kids are heroes because they do whatever it is they do, but what a fucking hero. A guy gave up his own fucking life to go into this watering hole and couldn't swim. So I gotta give Joe Delaney some props to start. Speaking of props, got a guest tonight. I wouldn't call him a special guest, but a guest nonetheless. A friend of mine, Brian Ingles, who works, essentially, for the Dallas Cowboys / USC Trojans. Welcome to the program, Brian.
Thank you for having me, Flem.
Yeah, well, you know, it's one of those things where when you're in a small budget, you got to bring people in that, you know, you can get in. But it's great to have you here.
Hey, thank you.
And first question is, why the fuck are you even on here? I mean, where's your relationship to football? I just said it. You work for the Cowboys somewhat and USC somewhat. What do you do?
I'm in sales on the Cowboys side of things, and the Cowboys are separate from the NFL and how they handle their merchandise.
Why?
Because about 15 years ago, they bought out from the collective bargaining agreement and separated themselves.
Only team?
Only team. It would be similar to the New York Yankees today trying to separate from Major League Baseball. Most teams would say, no way, Yankees aren't going anywhere. But back then, somehow the Cowboys got out of it. And they've been handling their sponsorships and marketing and retail and what I do on the apparel side of things by themselves.
What's the name of that company? It's a separate company from the NFL. What are they called?
Dallas Cowboys Merchandising.
Easy enough. And somehow, some way, they're involved with USC.
Yeah, so trying to take the business outside of just the Cowboys, and they went out to USC, and USC is a private school, and said, yes, hey, we want to have you guys, you know, produce all our merchandise. The other way USC was doing it was through, like, say, 170 vendors. Multiple factories, multiple coloring, multiple logos. No one really knew what was going on. Now you have the Cowboys doing it outside by themselves. Everybody knows, is on board with the athletic department, licensing. The colors are right. The logos are right. The brand is right. And we're out there selling it.
And USC's the only team that works with the Cowboys doing that?
Yep.
No shit. You'd never even know that a team like the Dallas Cowboys is in bed with USC. And they don't even fucking have any USC players on the team, do they?
Tyrone Smith.
I don't even know who that is.
Left tackle.
He's from USC?
Yeah.
You're bound to have someone from USC. It's amazing to me that these relationships, business relationships, even exist in this day and age. 15 years ago was the key. It seems like we've kind of de-evolved football-wise. Everything's so fucking NFL, the shield, protect the shield. But the Cowboys got out on their own and do it. Do they regret it? Do they make more money doing it this way?
Yeah, from what it sounds like, it's been the best thing that could have happened to them. They're, you know, the most successful team in terms of sales year after year, except for this past year, we kind of had a little slip and the Seahawks did great. But, you know, what they do and branding and going after their fans is a lot more direct as opposed to all the other NFL teams doing it all together at once. So all the other NFL teams get the same stuff from anyone that gets a license.
Are there any other teams in the NFL that have tried to get in on this, or it's just too late?
There's a couple of teams that have tried to get in on it.
Who? Do you know?
I've heard of a couple of them, yeah. And it's just not happening because basically, like I said, if you're the Tampa Bay Rays and the New York Yankees want to get out, you're not going to let them go because you make all the royalties and revenue sharing on what they do.
I would think the marquee franchises in the league, Cowboys, Steelers, Patriots, you'd think they would all want in, but it's just fucking too late.
The team that you've heard of a couple times would be the Raiders.
Yeah.
I mean, as far as fans and fandemonium, they're the second biggest team out there.
Isn't it amazing that they've been shitty for the last, what, at least 12 years?
Yeah, they're coming to Oxnard, I think, at the end of training camp. So it'll be Raiders and Cowboys hosting joint practices. So
why do the fucking Cowboys train in Oxnard? I've always wondered that. Why? Why Oxnard?
It goes back to Tom Landry. He lived in Thousand Oaks, and he wanted to get the team out of Dallas in the heat so they would practice out in Thousand Oaks. I'm not sure how exactly Oxnard came about, but they've been in Oxnard now for a couple of years. The New Orleans Saints were there recently, and since then, the Cowboys have locked it up for the next 5 years. So it's a great deal with the city of Oxnard. It's a great deal for the Cowboys. And
the Saints went out there?
Yeah, for 1 year after the, I think it was after the strike or after Katrina happened. I'm not sure exactly when, but they were out there for 1 year in between.
Oh, it's beautiful out there. No wonder why they freaking go out there and practice. So when you go to those practices and stuff, you run around, and I mean, what kind of access do you have to everything?
Well, I bring a lot of retail customers and guys that buy from me and their families and that kind of thing. And we bring them out and they go out in the field and meet some players. And that's really what it is giving people a little bit more access than Joe fan.
Do you ever go out boozing with those guys?
Not really, no.
No? That's the thing. When I worked at Penn State and I was, you know, slapdick GA, I would just fucking hang out with the dudes and I'd fucking go out and stay college with those guys. Unreal, man. I would just bring in, sit there and watch them, you know, and that was a really good team, that 2005 team, you know, Paul Posluszny, Michael Robinson, Tamba Hali.
Who's the quarterback?
Michael Robinson.
Oh, okay, sorry.
And, yeah. And those guys were studs. They brought life back to that program because Penn State was kind of in no man's land in the early 2000s. And as soon as that class went in, Mike Robinson, Tamba Hali, Paul Posluszny, they're back up to where they are now. And I don't fucking care what anyone says. Penn State will be playing a national championship in the next 5 years, kid. This freaking Franklin guy is unreal. And it's always been a sleeping giant. Joe Paz, for all the great things that he did for that team, he held them back because, you know, this guy fucking
Joe Paz
dialed up on rotary phones and shit. You know what I mean? He's an old man in this new day and age. So they were kind of held back. Fucking Penn State's a juggernaut. Fucking, it's one of those places that's just the most unique place on earth. If you've never been to state college and you just don't understand, you went to college at another school that's a lot different than any other school, Arizona State University. When you were there, were those guys any good?
First year, ASU was great. Went to the Rose Bowl. Jake Plummer.
Plummer years.
A lot of good players came off that team. I think they had like 11 players drafted. It was at the time they beat Miami for the most players in the draft. The last 3 years was terrible. Those kids might as well been just partying with us and everybody else. They weren't doing anything any good.
Arizona State's, I don't know why any recruit would go there, to be honest with you, because you fucking practice in 120-degree fucking weather.
Not anymore. We have the bubble there now. I mean,
really?
Facilities, how would you not go there? Carhartt says the same thing. It's a sleeping giant.
It is a sleeping giant. I've always said that about Hawaii as well, but people don't want to fucking go live on another planet in Hawaii, but Arizona State is a sleeping giant, but
speaking of Hawaii, after USC's home opener last year, I was at LAX flying out, and I saw Hawaii going to get on a plane. Those guys spent the night, probably some average hotel, didn't get to go out, and there they are the next morning flying 6 hours home. That's not fun.
Yep, that's the key right there. It's just, I said, it's like living on a different planet. Speaking of different planets, that LA Kiss game. I need to talk about the LA Kiss a little bit because I've been hyping it up on this show forever, and I finally go to this fucking game. The best part of the LA Kiss, one, is the go-go dancers up in the rafters and fucking each corner of the end zone, which I think is brilliant.
What they look like?
Oh, beautiful, beautiful fucking, you know, as you get older, it's one of those things where any girl fucking younger than 25 has got everything in the right spot, you're like, oh, she's beautiful. Every one of them, you know, if you really got close to them, you're like, she ain't all that, but fucking, the problem with the Arena Football League is the game is not that good. It's all about that guy who goes in the back and forth motion, who ends up going in the frig. All they want to do is throw the ball to that guy. They don't run the ball to friggin' save their lives. They put O lineman back there. It's a flawed game. And to be quite honest with you, I've talked about at length, people really don't like football. But that fucking LA Kiss thing was fun as hell, man. You ever been in an arena game?
One a long time ago back in Worcester.
Mass Marauders, kid.
I think so. Gordy Lockbaum was playing back.
Mass Marauders. Gordy Lockbaum, one of the greatest freaking Division I AA players of all time.
Holy Cross.
At Holy Cross course. Worked there. They still have fucking... I met Gordy Lockbaum.
Give a shout out to John Myers.
Give a... Yeah. If he's listening in the freaking Nantucket, whatever the hell he's freaking living these days. But I just think it's a flawed product. I don't think that they're ever going to... People are never going to be really be into arena football. The only places arena football really succeeds to me is out in the middle of fucking nowhere. You know what I mean? In Iowa and shit. Iowa Barnstormers is where, what's his name, played? Kurt Warner.
Oh, yeah.
Played in the Iowa Barnstormers. I can't believe they don't take quarterbacks out of it because they make decisions so fast and they fucking, you have to be accurate because there is no running game. There's no play action game. And the guys just let it fly from that, but it'll never really work. I would not be surprised in the next year or two, the LA Kiss, who play in Anaheim, which is fucking...
Out in Bakersfield next.
I just, yeah, I think this is going to fade away, and they're going to... Hopefully, they get a rivalry with Vince Neil's team out in Vegas. Vince Neil just got a team, which is great. They should have a fucking battle of the bands, and there's so much stuff you could do. They had some bad Rolling Stones band cover band out there. Well, I could do a fucking better Mick Jagger than the guy who was out there. But it was a good time, man. It was fun. Almost got into a fight. I haven't been in a fight in 10 years. I'm not the type of guy that said I'm going to whoop some guy's ass, but this fucking kid, man, this sandal-wearing fucking 23-year-old just kept trying to get me to do the wave.
Sounds like he would have whipped your ass.
Hey, he probably would have. And just trying to get me to do the wave, and was like, it's fucking, there's always those people at those types of places that, but it was fun as hell. And, you know, I don't think I'll ever go to another game, but we shall see. You know, Philip fucking Lutzkirchen died the other day. I don't know if you remember him. If you're a college football fan, you should remember. There's a guy that caught the game-winning touchdown.
Auburn, right?
Auburn, yeah. Died the other day. 23 years old. Had a hip injury. Out of the league. Like nothing. Just out of the league. 23 years old. Out with his freaking homies drinking. Ended up, the driver was drunk and ended up freaking crashing into something. Killed him. It's amazing. It's always about, it's about who you know. It's about just being lucky. It's about having, being in the right place at the right time. A guy like that, and then just all of a sudden, 23, done. And I don't know. Makes me feel like the whole Joe Delaney story or whatever. I don't know where I'm going with it, but fucking poor bastard. It's,
where are you going?
I don't know. Where am I going? Where I'm going is the Jimmy Graham trial and the whole fucking Ed O'Bannon thing. Now, you're a guy who's into merchandising and all that shit. What is this Ed O'Bannon trial? Does it have any effect on what you guys do as far as... Do you foresee a time where these companies, these independent companies, will just deal with the players and the agents bypassing the NFL or bypassing the NCAA and just dealing with the players in general?
On the NFL, they have the NFLPA, so you can go to those guys directly to some degree, but you ultimately want to stay kind of in those bounds. In the NCAA, I don't see it happening until this Ed O'Bannon thing kind of comes to an end result. And at that point, like for right now, you can do a player number T, but you can't throw Manziel on the back or, you know, anyone that you want to do. So right now, it's, you're ultimately still using the player likeness, but you're not using their name, and it's a shady business. I feel bad for the college players, but that's kind of where it is right now.
I think it's going to change. I think as time goes on, these players will be able to, and I think they should. Fuck, they're 18, over 18 years old. They should be able to negotiate their own contracts with this shit. And I think the whole players union stuff, the Northwestern stuff, we've talked about on the show, I think that's where they should go with it, because I think a guy, if you're a fucking man, you should not be indentured servitude. And people love to bring up the, oh, they get scholarships. They get fucking scholarships. But don't you think these guys should be able to negotiate for themselves?
yes and no. I know that when I was that age, I would have no idea what I was trying to negotiate and what I was doing. And I don't think a lot of these guys have the great backgrounds and the great family direction to let them know what they're doing.
But they don't have agents.
You're talking the college players?
Yeah.
Before they go pro?
Yeah. You think it's a slippery slope?
Yeah. Yeah, definitely.
Why?
I just think they can get in too much trouble and people taking them in other directions. You can see it with the kids that come out of college too early now and they try and go pro. And just watch the NBA draft. These kids coming out that are juniors, hey, come on out. I guarantee you're going to be drafting the top couple rounds and the guys aren't getting picked up.
The difference between the NBA and the NFL, and it's a difference between the two games, the basketball and football. In the NBA, they'll go overseas and fucking make money and live their lives and be successful. Look at, what's his name? Wiggins, Andrew Wiggins, number one pick overall. Mm-hmm. His dad fucking went somewhere and ended up making all this money. Kobe Bryant's dad ended up same thing, making all this money. NFL, they can't do that. Have you ever seen the Europe football, quote unquote, professional football? It's a fucking joke. Fundamentally, what it comes down to, I think there is more of a market for people to sit down and watch a basketball game than there is for a football game. But my point is, why can't these guys be able to fucking make money when they can make money? And why should the NCAA have... Look at all the presidents of colleges. Look at the college football coaches. Look how much money they've made in the last 10 years.
Crazy.
How much money they've made. And these players get nothing. And they have no guarantees. And if they get hurt, and they're done. They're done. You don't think there's a way they can change that?
I'm not sure. I mean, you see the kid, Jeremy Tyler, the kid that left high school after his junior year to come out early. He went over to Europe, came back to the NBA, and he's had somewhat of a successful career. But I just think it's too young and too risky to have agents involved with those guys back then.
Fuck that. They're 18 years old. Once you're out of high school, you're freaking... It's a fair game. You know what I mean? You just got to find a way to make money. Same way. You know, you shouldn't force a kid to go to college if the kid doesn't want to go to college. It's not the American way. Enough of that. Let's get back to the freaking Cowboys, if you will. Did you watch that thing this week about the Cowboys reading those tweets?
Yeah. That was pretty good.
Yeah, pretty good, I guess. But, God, like, I didn't even know Brandon Weeden was on the freaking team right now.
He's the number two right now.
He is the number two. Think they should have taken Manziel? Was it really... I don't know how much inside information you have, but did they want to take Manziel?
I'm not sure if they want to take Manziel or not. I just know that from my side of things, it would have been great. Manziel seems like he's a super talent and would do a lot for any NFL organization. So he'd be exciting. He'd be good. I don't know how he's going to turn out. Hopefully he keeps it together for the first couple of years in the league and we go from there.
That's the thing with Manziel. It's just, you know, I've talked about fucking Manziel at length, and it's unfortunate that it's become a Manziel-driven league for the next 5 to 7, 10 years. How Manziel is just
How do you think he's going to do?
Oh, I think, well, you know, again, I've talked about
10 years from now, do you think he's going to be a stud player?
No, not 10 years from now, but he
five?
Will. Within the next 5 years, he's going to have a huge year, and you're going to fucking... They've done everything they can to try to make us hate Manziel.
There's no way.
The whole sports center... You don't think so?
I don't think he's going to have... I mean, he's going to be a good player, but I don't think he's going to be the transcendent guy you think he's going to be.
Yeah, why not?
I mean, not to take anything away from him, but I just think he's got some... He's in a tough division. He's got the weight of the world on his shoulders with the team already. And I don't know how his talent's going to relate to bigger, faster, stronger guys in the NFL.
Oh, I don't know, man. It's like the SEC's bad. The SEC's slow and small.
I think it's... I mean, he's
going
to be going against...
He was 75% completion rate last year. 75 fucking percent.
We'll talk in a year.
I know. That's always the skeptics. We'll see. He's just too good not to. Is he transcendent? I don't know. But, you know, is he Randall Cunningham redo? I don't know. I love the way guys, I was watching the NBA draft and this weekend really struck my nerve, how they always compare people. And those the pundits always compare white players to white players.
That's the best.
And black players to black players in the NFL. So they love the Manziel thing that's always Doug Flutie. And I always contend that Doug Flutie would have been great in the NFL, and he was great in the NFL when he had a shot. Mm-hmm. But it just, the Manziel thing, it's just too much. They're going to force you to hate him. ESPN, those people just amazing. Did you see the newest ESPN headquarters there in
the new studios?
Yeah. What'd you think of that?
I look a little too futuristic for me.
Future is now, kid. In Bristol, of all places. You ever been to Bristol, Connecticut?
I haven't.
Home of Aaron Hernandez. I've been there for some reason. I had a college friend who was there. I've been there. Connecticut itself is just, it's the richest state in the union, but it's also got this underbelly to it. And Bristol is right into that underbelly of
New Haven, Bristol.
New Haven, Staven, all that.
Hartford.
Awful. Awful. The freaking ghettoist of the ghettoist. But it's still the number one richest community. And I don't know how they freaking pull that off.
It's called Greenwich.
Yeah, Greenwich. And it's all New York City shit.
Yeah.
What else we got going on watching the World Cup? You seem like a World Cup fan. You're a swimmer from freaking Arizona State. So you're obviously some kind of World Cup fan, right?
I'm watching it because it's exciting. You know, everybody else is watching it, but I couldn't name five players on the team, but it is exciting, and I'm excited for the five Germans and the U.S. team to take us to...
Is it five Germans?
Five Germans and a German coach.
Oh, that's ridiculous. That really fucking raises my rent, man. That really draws me off sides. I can't believe that we... The Second World War was what? 60, 70 years ago? My old man was like 6 years old when the freaking World War II was going on. We're still going to bow down to the Germans like that? I would freaking... Oh, there's got to be a way we can just... be German free. I look at cross-eyed anybody who drives a Mercedes Benz or anybody who drives a friggin' what are the other German vehicles? But sorry, I don't want to be anti-German. We went back and forth on the Twitter account with Jonathan Martin this week because I came on the program the other couple weeks ago and I blasted Jonathan Martin for blasting LeBron James on Twitter. I don't know if you saw that.
No, I didn't.
Jonathan Martin was like, oh, LeBron, drink a Gatorade and get back in the game. It's like, you fucking queer. How could he say that? You know what I mean? Someone just has some empathy, but he went back and forth with us on Twitter. And I don't really like Twitter. I know you don't do Twitter, but...
I'm getting on it tonight.
But it is fun. It is fun at times when you get these guys to respond. Like Warren Moon came out and responded the other day. It was just about Zubaz and shit. Watching the NFL Network. Well, I watch the NFL Network all week because I'm not working because I fucking am a gym teacher. I'm a fucking school teacher, so I got more time off than I know what to do with. I ended up watching this week is 90s week. You watch NFL Network?
Of course I do. And Zubaz, by the way, are back.
No way.
Yeah, we just had them in the team line. We were just out there selling it last year, and I sold a couple, but I'm also wearing them. And everybody hates him.
No way. I love him. It's throwback. You know, everything goes around, comes around. But Zubaz as a company still exists?
The license exists. So, like, the NFL will let them, hey, you want to make some pants with our logos on it, and these guys will do that. So, we were selling it. I was forcing it down people's throats, and not only that, I'm wearing the samples.
You walk out on the beaches of Santa Monica and freaking...
I'll show you the pictures. I get on my skateboard and get the Huskies and we go.
rock the Zubaz.
Oh, yeah, I got him.
Yeah, it's amazing, though. There's such a difference between... And you see this across generations. There's such a difference between mid-90s football and late-80s football.
You talking in terms of just the uniforms and the pads?
Everything. Everything, the way they carry themselves, the announcers, the halftime shows. It seems like there was a certain point where it just fucking split. So I was watching these games. I'm watching the old Lions. The Lions playing in a playoff game. They had the NFL greatest games of all time, which is a fucking tremendous series. I don't know if you've ever watched any of that. But they had the Lions versus the Packers. And Brett Musburger, we've had history on with this program. Brett Musburger, well, I'm just talking shit on him. The fucking guy just won't go away, and he still looks ageless.
And his brother's the agent, right?
Brett Musburger's brother's an agent?
Yeah, big agent.
I didn't know that.
His brother's an agent for a lot of coaches, yeah.
Is it really?
Yeah.
That's why I got you on the show, Brian. Hey, give me some fucking information on that. Brett Musburger doing these games in this Lions team. So Barry Sanders and the NFL Network, the whole 90s team, that... Everybody bows down to Barry Sanders being the greatest running back of all time. I'll take Emmitt Smith over Barry Sanders all the time. As a Cowboy hater, I'll freaking take Emmitt Smith over Barry Sanders all the time. Because everybody always forgets about Barry Sanders. He led the all-time leader in negative rush yards. And so Barry Sanders, -2, -6, -5, 50. To be able to create an offense and be able to have a sustained drive, Barry Sanders wasn't the guy for it. They just bow down to him because of his statistics. And they look at this guy and be like, oh, well, bottom line, he has 115 yards every game. Mm-hmm. But how many drive kills does he have every single game?
They show the same highlights of him all the time. The one highlight of him turning around the Patriots guy.
Yep.
I mean, there's like three or four of them. But I did watch that thing on him the other night, that 90 special on his dad talking about him and all that stuff. And he was talented, but Emmitt Smith was, you know, kind of moving the ball in one direction. Might not have been spectacular, but he moved it down the
line. And that's also philosophy of team. They were pounding the freaking rock with them. They had a huge O-line with the Cowboys. You know, the Lions had a decent O-line, but... And they're all rocking the starter jackets. Apparel is your thing. Starter jackets, still a thing?
Yeah, we have a couple kind of what's called hot market where you'll get something like a starter jacket and you'll come out and you'll sell it real quick and give a couple retailers a couple days to buy it up. And that look is unfortunately still hot.
I would give you fucking $100 if you give me an old fucking Patriots fucking starter jacket from 1994, kid. You do that?
No. I can get you a Cowboys one. You'll wear that and you'll like it.
Oh, unfortunately. Oh, as much as I dislike the Cowboys, but, you know, America's team. You still think they're America's team?
Yeah, I think we are. We just got voted.
We?
Yeah, not me. Not we. They just got voted U.S. as number one team in terms of favorite team, but also the number one hated team.
Oh, well, anytime you have success, you're going to have haters. I prove that every day. Anytime you have success, you're going to have haters. It's amazing. A team that's been 8-8, it seems like forever. The two teams have been 8-8 for
three years in a row.
It's the Cowboys and the Raiders, and they're still the number one teams. So here's my point to get back to Manziel, because it seems like it always comes to Manziel. Why wouldn't one of those two teams take Manziel? Just blow fucking everything off the roof.
You know, the Raiders, I don't know. I can't speak for them, but the Raiders and Johnny Manziel would have been a match in heaven. Those guys would have been great. In terms of the Cowboys, you know, they're invested in Romo and maybe going in another direction. I'm not exactly sure, but I can tell you that he would have been huge. I mean, he's the number one jersey seller right now.
Is Jerry Jones still calling the shots for everything?
It certainly sounds like he's involved. I'm not sure if he's the one that's doing the shots, but I know his son, Stephen Jones, is the acting GM. I'm sure that they kind of work together.
How old is Stephen Jones? Mid-40s, early 40s?
Yeah, I'm not exactly sure.
And he's the one running the show? How old is Jerry Jones?
I think he's...
gotta be close to 70.
No, he's over 70. I'd say he's the upper half of his 70s.
He's a whoremonger, isn't he?
I'm not sure.
You're not sure. What do you fucking know? Of course you're sure. You know, he's a whoremonger. Everything I've read about this guy, always talking about...
I heard you were, too.
Yeah, well, no. No, how dare you? How dare you? But Jerry Jones is read the book Boys Will Be Boys. You read that book?
No, I haven't.
Read it. Read it, kid. Because it's freaking, and it make you think differently about the Cowboys and make you appreciate the Cowboys in a certain respect. But Jerry Jones is a whoremonger. And he's freaking crazy at that. But who's not? Let's get off the fucking Cowboys for a second. How about Jadeveon Clowney?
Thank you.
What do you think about Clowney?
I think he's a stud. He's a beast.
He just had hernia surgery. He had it. And there's the thing.
He played the whole year with the hernia, right?
Played the whole year with the hernia. And this is the thing that always gets me about Clowney. If I were him, I wouldn't have played last year. I would have said, fuck it. I would have gone Brandon Jennings style and be like, you know what? I'll go play a couple exhibition games. Just
over in Europe, wherever he played it?
Whatever. And we talked about that earlier. There's no real Europe market. But fucking sit on the shelf. What kind of allegiance does he have to the fucking South Carolina Gamecocks?
Nothing.
And everyone shits on him. Oh, he's not a competitor. But the guy freaking played with this hernia. Oh, yeah. Now he's finally getting... And it's amazing that these doctors didn't pick that up earlier. You know, I still would have taken him number one. Well, I would have taken Manziel number one if I were Houston. Talk about match made in heaven. Talk about a marketing scheme. You bring Johnny Manziel into Houston... forget it. You sell more freaking merchandise. But the way the system is set up right now, so if Houston goes out and sells all these jerseys, everybody gets the money?
The teams that are in the kind of, as far as I know, in the revenue sharing, yeah, everybody kind of pools it all together. So the Kaepernicks, the Wilsons, Manziels, and if you're the 45th guy in the roster, you still share in that money as well. But, you know, last year, J.J. Watt was a top seller before this kind of whole thing with Kaepernick, Wilson, and Mayton.
So you're saying for every J.J. Watt jersey,
yeah,
and you probably don't know the numbers off the top of your head, say a jersey sells for $100. Mm-hmm. How much of that you think goes to Houston?
We got to take the royalty rate into that. So it's just say $10. Just
no
for
shit.
Math, $10, and then you've got a, and it goes into a couple of the piles. But he doesn't get, as far as I know, he doesn't get the lion's share of that. It's kind of all shared with everybody. So it's, if you're McCourty on the Patriots, you're getting this check at the end of the year, and it's all about the NFLPA and how much revenue they create.
Oh, really? Each player gets individual checks based on those?
Yeah, that's why you don't want to let out, like Barry Bonds, for instance. He left Major League Baseball and the Players Union to go out on his own and think that he could make more money on his own as opposed to the revenue sharing. Well, obviously, he failed.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, no one wants anything to do with Barry Bonds. No one wanted to deal with him, so had he stayed in the Players Union, he would have made more money collectively. But he didn't want to share money with, you know, anyone else, whether it be, you know, anyone on the Red Sox or any other team. He just wanted it all for himself.
What a communist fucking socialist institution the NFL is, that they could just have these guys who are making money off their name. Look, we're all fans of teams, but the players are the ones out there doing it, and they're getting fucked in this whole thing, no?
Well, I mean, they're getting, I guess, fucked, as you said, but they're all, you know, sharing money, I guess. It's not a bad place to be.
Yeah, good point. So you're saying the 52nd guy in the roster, 53rd guy in the roster is still making money off J.J. Watt and Adrian Peterson jerseys.
Yeah, everybody, it's, once you're in the union, yeah, you do share like that. I mean, it's health benefits, it's everything.
Socialist fucking institution. Fucking commies, man. That's why I think baseball has it right. So baseball has their problems. Fucking free market. It's more free market, no? Is baseball like that too, as far as jersey sales?
Yeah, I mean, to give you an example, and this number sounds crazy, but I have heard this, that in all the logos that are sold in Major League Baseball, there's a 75% likelihood that it's going to have a New York Yankees or a Boston Red Sox logo on it. So everything else is...
Really?
Yeah.
That high?
Tampa Bay, yeah, I mean, it's that high. I mean, all you have to do is walk down these streets of L.A. or anywhere you go, you're going to see Red Sox, Yankees everywhere. I mean, you're not seeing anyone wearing an Astros hat. If somebody's going to Tampa Bay or a hat they lost, you have no idea what they're doing.
I got a homie who was working for some agency, or some friend of his had some kind of in where they were going into these stands downtown L.A., and they were snatching their shit. They threw some kind of badge out into these freaking poor mom pops, you know, not NFL approved, and they were snatching shit. I got two Randy Moss jerseys. I got a freaking two
Fakes.
Tom. Fakes, but yeah. Shit.
That's a big business. I mean, especially now with Nike taking over, they're really policing kind of what's going on with the NFL and the holograms and all that stuff. And I think it was about a year or two ago they seized $800,000 in fake jerseys at LAX. I mean, that's a big business. If you look at watch an NFL game and they go to the crowd, my retailers, the guys that I deal with, can tell that all those are fakes.
Do they tell you to go snatch them if you see them?
I'm not. Yeah, of course I do, but I mean, I'm not gonna ever say
that because mom and pop in downtown LA are gonna be freaking packing a freaking sawed-off shotgun behind the counter.
Exactly.
But they do tell you to be like, hey, if you see it.
No, but I mean, I have people call me all the time and say, don't sell to this guy, don't sell to this guy, or so and so. So you kind of try and sell it to the people you do know that are selling the real stuff, and you really try not to worry about the fake stuff.
You think the Redskins are gonna have any type of repercussions over this? You think?
I think it's out of control, and I do like what Joe Gibbs said, that he never in all these years heard anyone say anything bad to him about the Redskins.
Never. Nobody cared.
No one cares. The only people that care are these certain five or six women that are kicking up dirt, making a big deal about it, and obviously they're having some success, but I don't think it needs to change because I don't think they hold it in the same regard as some of these other words that, you know, kind of go down the same road.
Dropping N-bombs. Amanda Blackhorse is, like, in charge of the Redskins thing. Like, Amanda Blackhorse has any idea what the fuck it means to be an Indian? Amanda fucking Blackhorse. She just came out and said the Chiefs should drop their name, too. I don't know if you saw that. Ridiculous. My name's Amanda, and like my second great grandfather was a Native American, and it's fucking stupid. It'd be like me fucking looking for reparations over the, you know, Irish spring and getting put into the Civil War without it. That being said,
I've Black said, Horse sounds like a name that should go away too.
It's one of those things where just, you know, who fucking cares? But if it does. Why can't the NFL, my question to you is, why can't the NFL sit down with the powers that be and figure something out?
What is the problem? I mean, I don't even see it. Like, it doesn't offend me. Well, I can't really.
Yeah, of course it doesn't offend you because you're literally white. But, you know, I don't think it really offends these people is my point.
No, these people are just, like you said in one of your previous episodes, pay these people some money.
Yeah, go away. And beat it. Go away. It's the same thing. I like the NFL's really have this much of a problem.
Go back to your casinos, and it's okay.
Go. Yeah, well, yeah. Amanda Black Horse, and I'm thinking that it's like, this is really racist. It's like fucking Asian people that get all offended with the word Oriental. The word Oriental just means fucking Far Eastern. You know what I mean? It's the same type of thing. It's like you're talking to somebody, you're Asian. It's like, fuck, dude, Kazakhstan's in fucking Asia. You know, but they get all fucking bent out of shape over it. I bet out of shape, too. Fantasy football season is upon us. Are you a player?
A retired player.
A retired player. Did you win?
1 year I made it to the final game, but it's just, I think kind of working in that industry, you just kind of get too tied up in the players and all this stuff, and just it's probably best to not get involved in that again.
It's just too much. People, the whole watching football on Sunday just becomes all involved with that. And I've played on and off, and I'm never going to go back. Well, I say that, but it does make it a little bit more interesting. But fuck, the industry that's been built, now you're already seeing the Street and Smith's magazines on fantasy players, top 1,000 freaking fantasy players and all that.
It's crazy.
But that being said, I do have to read my Mr. Roto once in a while because this is a guy who does look at stats. There is a ability of stats, and I have a few stats from him. 2 years with Gronkowski, Patriots. I always bring it back to the Patriots. Tom Brady's completion percentage with Gronkowski on the field, 65%. Without it, 58%. Patriots receivers, not that Gronkowski was the reason for this, last year, at the 1 yard line, got tackled 8 times. If those guys brought into the, he was like the 15th rated fantasy quarterback this year. If those guys brought in the end zone, he would have been the 3rd rated quarterback. Had the 2nd most drops in the NFL behind, what's his name, Matthew Stafford. Ugh. Patriots are going to continue to throw those guys out there. But do you think that, I foresee a time where these teams just bring these number crunches in, these fantasy fucking guys, they bring them in and just number crunch and be able to bring these guys as general managers, if you will. Do you think that's viable?
I do, and you've already seen it in baseball. I mean, all you have to do is, you know, start with Moneyball and what's going on with all these guys. They're all Harvard, Yale-educated guys. You know, you start with Hugh Epstein, you go out to the St. Louis Cardinals. All those guys have, you know, degrees well beyond baseball, and I'm not even sure what these degrees are because they're above my communications degree from ASU, but they are, you know, strong enough, and I do think it will at some point get the football of who's moving where, and you're going to get to, you know, more of a simulator type game.
You kicked it with Theo a few times, no?
Yep.
Yeah?
He was a nice guy. He lived in San Diego. He lived with my old roommate in San Diego, and he was a nice guy. Went to a Pearl Jam show. Very nice kid. Awesome guy.
Yeah, and he's fucking failing miserably in Chicago.
I mean, when do they don't fail miserably?
They shouldn't. They have more money than any other team other than the Yankees or the Red Sox, and the Yankees and the Red Sox are winning freaking games, but it's not a baseball show. What the hell do I really fucking care about Theo Epstein? Because I don't care about Theo Epstein. I care about guys like freaking Hank Basket, who this week ended up, I don't know. It's really unclear what exactly happened. Did he get a blowjob from a freaking transvestite? What was that? Do you know anything about that?
I've heard about it a couple times, yeah. It sounded like he was getting a hand job from a transvestite who that he met online, and he got caught.
Some guys, man, this insatiable fucking appetites. You know, he's got a former Playboy playmate as his wife, and he still has to go out and get on the internet and go out and get hand jobs from freaking guys. And Hank Baskett's only like 31 years old. It's not like
he's a younger guy. I mean, you remember he blew the game, the Super Bowl, when the Saints kicked off on the onside.
Oh yeah,
and it went off his helmet. He fell down, went off his helmet, and the Saints got it. And that's when they took it for the touchdown. That's kind of got the momentum going. So he's been downhill since then.
He played
for the Colts.
Did he?
Yep. They kicked off. If you go back and look at it in your archives and you're back in your little your dungeon out in Covina, wherever the hell you are, go watch it. But yeah, he got caught. I mean, guys are guys, but he, in his situation, you don't want to be, you'd think at that level that you're not trolling the internet with every other $55,000 a year guy looking for guys, your trannies, whatever he's looking for.
And he offered this woman like 15 grand to be quiet about it.
Yeah, yeah. And I don't know if you saw the interview with her, but it's pretty scary.
No, I haven't seen it.
She looks like you, talks like you. He should have known better.
Then I could see why Hank Baskett would be so enthralled.
He wanted some takeout. Who knows?
I have that androgynous appeal. He threatened to kill himself. Yeah. I mean, fucking guy. 15 grand. I know a guy like Hank Baskett ain't kicking around that money, but freaking, what's her name? Kendra Wilkinson has to have all types of money, right?
That's what he was saying. He couldn't get the money out of his account because they do a joint account, and she'd probably blow him up and say, hey, why are you taking this money out? Oh, it's for a tranny, no big deal.
Oh, you know she's got to be a freak, too. You know, she's bringing Playboy playmate, uber fucking Playboy playmate with this fucking big ex-NFL fucking player who just has an insatiable fucking sexual appetite. He's going to go out on the internet and fucking get hand jobs from dudes. You know? 31 years. I can ooman about being getting hand jobs from fucking dudes. Speaking of getting hand jobs from dudes, fucking Peyton Manning, his camp is freaking kicking off this week. Do you know they do this camp every year?
The Manning passing camp?
The Manning passing camp, and they threw Johnny Manziel out of it.
He got banged up and they had to leave.
Do you think Manziel, it brings it back, when you see these things, do you think Manziel's that bad?
Well, I think he's definitely bad. I think he's come up from a background that's very privileged, but it makes you wonder if all these other guys are keeping it so much more under wraps, and he's just kind of on the front line of the social media. I mean, Johnny Manziel walked in here right now. I know you'd take a picture of him.
Oh, fuck.
You'd try and give him a hand job.
What am I, Hank Baskett? No, I challenge him to fucking one-on-one hoops, although I've seen the guy friggin' ball out. But do you think it's a trend that every superstar player from here on out is going to be just under the scrutiny that they can't friggin' withstand? Like freaking Winston, who just named ACC Athlete of the Year.
Yeah, I think it's going to start. It's just going to continuously get worse. And I do feel bad for those guys. I mean, if you think about anybody, like the Mets in the 80s, the Red Sox in the 80s, any of these teams that kind of partied hard and lived hard, that if they were going out and if Wade Boggs was hooking up with Margot Adams, somebody would have taken a picture of that before it, you know, blew up. So I think that these guys are living in a tough day and age.
Yeah, it's going to be hard. It's going to be, I mean, relatively hard, but you look at a guy like Manziel, and there's nothing he's ever, ever, ever going to do that's not going to be recorded.
No, no. But he's also one of these people that sounds like he's not really worried about it and kind of going after it, where he's doing his thing and doesn't care.
I guess the counter to it is just don't go out and do shit. But what the fuck? Who wants to live life like that?
That sounds fun.
Notre Dame. I didn't even know this until the other day. Notre Dame's playing Florida State this year. It's a fucking great game. They should make those two teams play every year. So, of course, Notre Dame fans come out with the T-shirts. Criminals. Remember the old Criminals versus the Catholic?
Mm-hmm.
Now it's Criminals with the Seminoles versus the Catholics with the big crab on it. That's great. I don't think, fuck.
That's a good shirt.
That's a great shirt. I'm going to get one.
I'm going to try and sell it.
And I think, yeah, right, you couldn't fucking...
Well, Notre Dame now just kind of changed from Adidas to Under Armour, man. A big coup for Under Armour to
that's
change it over.
Thing.
And that's about, that's you know, Notre Dame school that's kind of all on history and tradition. Under Armour doesn't have it. Under Armour's more flash. You've seen the commercials, protect this house and jump around. And so now they're going in that direction, and that really comes down to ultimately a money thing.
How much was it? Do you know?
I'm not sure, but I think they're paying about, I could be wrong, but about $10 million a year to have the rights to make the uniform. So I don't know if, you know, if Under Armour comes in with a better technology, really, at the end of the day, these jerseys really aren't that far off in technology and all that stuff, but it comes down to money and branding. And Notre Dame still won't let you, if you went to a Notre Dame game, you still can't advertise inside the stadium. I'm sorry. So it's, it, you know, they're going to have the UA on the jersey, but that's about it.
Wow. Who does the jerseys for USC?
Nike.
And you guys don't see any, that's a completely different thing?
No, Nike, Adidas, Under Armour, and I think that's pretty much it. Goes off to these schools and pays them. And same thing with high schools, too. And they go after them and they pay for them and you know, sponsor the team and everything and what they're wearing. So Nike's big in the business. Nike has, you know, Ohio State, Florida, USC, kind of the Texas, the core teams. And then Adidas has a lot of core teams, too. And then Under Armour, you know, I think they started with Maryland, Auburn.
Started in Maryland, yeah.
Yeah, and you know, they're going from there. So
who gets that money?
The school.
What the fuck did he do with it?
You know? They put it back to the kids' education.
Yeah, right. It makes them that much smarter.
Who did Stonehill's uniforms?
Reebok.
Very nice.
Reebok was right there, kid. Fucking Stoughton right there. That's where Reebok is based out of. Yeah, I didn't even think of that that way. The schools get it, but you really don't think the kids should freaking see any of that. You're going to...
No, I think it's a slippery slope. My point is... I guess now I'm thinking about it a little bit later, but if you start giving the kids money, does Johnny Manziel get more money than the kid that's cleaning his jock that's on the team? Like, how do you slide it down? And it becomes a pro league in itself. Does a DB get the same that's a walk-on? That's the walk-on kid get the same money as Johnny Manziel?
No. Then
if you don't think that, then... I just think you have a tough deal to kind of manage when you have something like that.
No, I do think like Indiana just came out this week in what the fuck does Indiana know about football? Although great basketball school, they had a student's bill of rights. I do think there is a bunch of shit that these kids should be able to get that they don't get right now that the school is getting. They just sit on these endowments and they give these presidents and they give these fucking professors all this money. And who's bringing in this money? The players.
So that's how it is. I mean, you look at the sports, you have like three or four teams that are bringing in all the sports. So, okay, so you're talking about football bringing all the money. Should women's volleyball at Indiana, should their best player get paid more than the worst player?
Yes. Who do you think are the three highest valued college football jersey sales? College football jersey sales. Who are the three, if you had to bring it?
Stonehill? No, I'm sorry. I would start with Texas, Ohio State.
God, Texas. Merrimack College.
No, not those guys. Dan Curran, what's up?
Texas, Ohio State,
and...
Notre Dame? USC. Gotta be USC.
USC is not as high as you'd think now.
Why?
In the last couple of years, coming off the sanctions, it's come down a little bit. But back in the day when they were rocking with Leinart, Bush, and Carroll... Yeah, I could say that.
By the way, I got to give you props, man. You give me fucking USC hats. They're ringing USC hats with shamrocks on them. I don't know how many USC.
I'd give you some shirts, too, if you could fit in them.
Yeah. Well, I got my USC ringing hat with the shamrock on the side. What is this, ringing the Red Sox? Everybody's Irish are claiming everybody, right?
Mm-hmm.
I thought it was big in Chicago and Boston, but evidently the Trojans have a lot of Irish, although I...
That doesn't mean that hat's going to sell, but you have the sample, so congratulations.
I drove around the USC area, and I don't see a lot of Irish guys in that area of USC, to say the least.
I'm out there hawking it.
Yeah, you ain't out there hawking it. Do you have to go out there and actually do it? Why don't you pay some hot, wannabe... LA actresses and go out there and fucking just walk around the campus with three to four girls, see them last night and they freaking LA kiss and just hand shit out. Could you do that?
No.
Why?
No, I mean, I'm not at that level. I mean, I'm at a more mass level where people are coming into the stores and buying it. But one thing we're trying to do is get this, this retailer that's kind of a truck on wheels where you can go in there and buy stuff.
We're like those burger fucking things.
Yeah, so you go to FanFest, and one thing USC doesn't do too much of is outside the bookstore and in the Coliseum, you really don't see places where you can go buy merchandise. So we're trying to get a truck in the FanFest so that when these people get all banged up, hopefully they roll over and buy my T-shirt.
Kid, I think it's simple. I think you freaking... I shouldn't say simple. You know, we all got to fucking... You're not even on Twitter, so...
tonight I am.
I think there's a gold mine out there. I think people like USC, and USC's about to blow up again, unfortunately. Well, I shouldn't say that.
USC opens up at Fresno State. They got Colorado at home. They have ASU at home. Notre Dame at home. And they really don't have the... And they skipped the Oregon game this year, so... The third game of the season is going to be the biggest game of the year at Stanford. They get through that, we're good.
They play SC at home this year? In October?
No.
I mean, they play Notre Dame at home?
No, they play Notre Dame at home in November. They play the Thanksgiving.
I was going to say, they usually, if Notre Dame comes out here, and the only reason Notre Dame ever comes out here is because Newt Rockne's wife used to love to come out to SC in November because, shit. Do you ever go to away games?
Hopefully I'm going to go to the BC game this year. That's about it. But I've been to, I go back to ASU to watch them when they play.
They play BC this year in BC?
Yeah, second game of the season.
No shit. Is that a new contract? I didn't even know that.
It's, they played, BC was out this past season.
Oh, that's right.
And it's what they call home and home. So yep. That's how that works.
Good for BC.
That's good for them. They schools like that, like a BC, when they come out, they do a big fundraisers, big recruiting thing. I mean, it's really good for them to kind of come out and kind of splash out on the West Coast and scoop up kids, that kind of thing, and money.
BC's not a sleeping giant, but they're always a team that's been solid. Shit, they won, their bowl game 7-8 years in a row. BC is a school that should be good. Like Rutgers. Rutgers should be good.
There's a big article in Sports Illustrated about Rutgers and Maryland, how they move into the Big Ten and why they move in there. And it really is because... If they didn't go there, they'd be dying. I mean, you need Big Ten and kind of the draw. The Big Ten needed them to get more East Coast pull.
I think we're getting to the point in college football is only going to be about 15 relevant teams, and everyone else is just going to be on the outside.
That's what's going on. The super conferences and this other stuff. I mean,
everybody else doesn't mean shit. But like we talked about earlier, there's a lot of great football players out there. There is. In this day and age, there's so many freaking players out there that these small teams can't... Khalil Mack, University of Buffalo. There are guys out there, but the only teams that mean anything are the big power conference teams, and I think they're the only teams that anybody ever fucking cares about because people only care about rooting for big teams. Shit, time's running out. There's got to be some more things I want to talk about, as there is always... NBA draft, fuck that. Soccer, I couldn't care less about it. Redskins talk about it. Terry Bradshaw.
Ew.
I talked about him enough. Fuck Terry Bradshaw. He's just everywhere, though, nowadays, He's just this Fox fucking sports. Jimmy Graham trial. Jimmy Graham. What's the deal with this? This is a fucking joke. He lined up at tight end 30% of the time, but you're talking a $5 million a year difference.
Huge deal. And the thing that they're talking about, his Twitter account.
Yeah. Amazing.
Who gives a shit about that? He might not even look at that. He might not even manage that. That might be some guy like you managing his Twitter account sleeping on the job.
Yeah.
You can't even use that as anything. I mean, but maybe he should look at it every now and then and realize, I get that, but you can't judge a huge dollar amount on, hey, your Twitter account. So who gives a shit about Twitter?
$5 million a year difference.
Yeah, so has it come down yet? I don't think so, has it?
No, but this week they had, what's his name, Sean Payton on there, whom I freaking really dislike.
Does he not think he should get the money?
He's calling him a tight end. And then the defense brought in Bill Polian and Butch Davis. I don't know why those two have anyone. And both of those guys are like, look, he's freaking playing 70% of the game, not at the tight end position. Yeah. And you're going to free. Amazing. It's amazing how the way the structure of the NFL is that could ever fucking work. Communism, fucking socialism. Wish I had another hour. Don't have another hour. Last show of the year, kid. You freaking going to come back on next year?
First show, you'll see me here. Thank you very much.
Fucking August 12th, something like that. I'm going to go home, ring in, eat roast beef sandwiches and fucking
Wilmington.
Revere Beach, kid. Ring in Kelly's roast beef and ring in lobster rolls all fucking day. I'm out. Great to have you on. Be on again. I'm the coach. Follow us on Twitter. And that's about it. Later.